May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts and minds be now and always acceptable in the sight of God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, we certainly have heard that gospel lesson before. It's one that's very well known. And that's the problem with that particular gospel. It is so familiar that often we miss the message that Jesus is trying to give to the disciples and to us, his disciples in 2017 in Toronto. Now, I don't know if you've ever been out on the sea when there's been a storm, but we can imagine what it must be like. We've had a lot of storms lately, some of them quite frightening. And in fact, last week when we were up north in Muskoka, we experienced one of the worst storms I've ever seen. Excessive winds, extreme flooding, power outages, thunder and lightning, and the rain pelted down for hours and hours. We were fortunate because we were inside, and so we were quite dry and quite safe. But still, it did give me a little bit of appreciation for what the disciples must have felt stuck in that boat in the middle of that horrendous storm. Now, we know that the disciples made their livelihood from fishing, and so they would be used to the storms on the Sea of Galilee, because that's a place where squalls come up very quickly, often without any kind of warning. And yet, even with all their extensive experience and their knowledge, it didn't prevent them from being frightened. All night they had been battling this storm, the crashing waves, tossing the boat around. And just before dawn, when often it is darkest before the light actually comes, their fear was at its peak. They were totally overwhelmed with emotion. They weren't sure if they were going to make it to land before the boat broke apart. And then, of course, Jesus comes to lend a helping hand. And it's a strange twist, because he walks through the howling wind, across those momentum waves, to rescue the disciples. But instead of alleviating the disciples' fear when they saw him in the distance, it only made their anxiety worse. After all, he looked like a ghost. And for them, that was a very bad omen. It meant they were going to die. And what does Jesus do? He simply says, "Have courage. It's me, guys. Don't be afraid." Now, we hear those words, "don't be afraid," a lot. And they're very easy to say. But somehow to live, "don't be afraid," can be complicated and a little more difficult. Now, in Scripture, we hear the phrase, "don't be afraid," very often. "Fear not," in the Old King James Version. And anytime there is an encounter between the divine and a human being, the initial reaction of the human being is not only awe, but absolute terror. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary to tell her she was going to have a baby, first thing he said was, "don't be afraid." When the shepherds met with the angels on Jesus' birth, the angels said to them, "don't be afraid." The same with the women who came to the empty tomb. And even Jesus himself used those words in the post-resurrection appearances. "Don't be afraid." Even though these divine messengers were bringing good news, it was inevitably received with alarm and dread. Now, there's no doubt that the disciples in the boat would have been absolutely stunned to see Jesus coming across middle of the storm. And then Peter, like Peter often did something rash. He looks at Jesus and he says, "well, if you're really Jesus, let me come across the water to you." And Jesus says, yes, come, come. Now the storm is still raging, the lightning is flashing, and the sea is still churning. And Peter steps out into the water. Now the guys in the back of the boat think he's totally lost his mind at this point. But he really is a model of courage and trust and faith. The fellows huddled in the back of the boat are petrified. Now, they don't like where they are, but they're not willing to trade that relative safety for the uncertainty of following Peter into the water, because that could prove to be far more dangerous. Now, storms may create fear in us, and yet storms seem trivial when we compare them to the chaotic storms of human life. You know, we live in a society that is very fearful. A lot of people don't like to be alone. They certainly don't want to go out at night alone and walk. Society seems to feel we're at the mercy of the criminals, and so they build bigger prisons, give longer sentences. We're anxious about the unknown intent of foreign powers, and so billions of dollars are spent on weapons. We're afraid of economic ruin, of the internet, and of having a health crisis. And the media and the news augments our anxiety and fear, which is a shame because our fears are caused so often by forces beyond our control. I think sometimes it's quite a paradox that many Christians live lives filled with fear. And the divine involvement of our faith that's intended to alleviate our fear actually can and sometimes makes us far more anxious. And so the question becomes, why? Why is that? Well, as bad as our situation may be, regardless of what our fears are, we've learned to live with them. What we have not learned is to live our faith as well as we might. Now, we believe in God, or we wouldn't be here today. We trust that He is going to reach out to us in any and all circumstances. That was why Peter was able to step out into the unknown, and we can't help but marvel at his faith. What an example he is for all of us. Because we too much prefer to remain huddled in our comfortable places of relative safety. We love to hang on to what we know, what we're used to, because we're afraid. We're afraid of what's going to happen if we move beyond our comfort zone. Now, we may not like the situation we're in, but we're used to it, and it's better than the alternative. The unknown. What we need to remember is that our God always calls us forward, never backwards. Now, this gospel lesson is not about taking stupid or ill-advised chances just for the sake of adventure. What it's doing is reminding us that in the midst of our tempests and trials, our Lord does come to us. It's up to us to look for his presence in the midst of all the challenges, because he sends his love to us in so many ways. Maybe it's through friends or family, maybe a caregiver, maybe a stranger. Everybody at one point or another needs a helping hand. And there's no doubt that Jesus was that helping hand on that fateful day. You know, we're good people. We come to church. We try very hard to live our faith. We don't rob banks. We don't go around killing people. We try very hard to help. And most of us are very good at lending a hand. You know, reaching out to that person in need, listening to someone who's in pain. We're very good at that. What we're not very good about is receiving a helping hand, particularly difficult as we get older and we need more help from others. As they say, it's much easier to wash someone's feet than allow the other person to wash your feet. And I think we all know that that's true, because when you're an independent person, used to doing things for yourself, it is hard to be gracious when you need help, to accept that help. There are also occasions when our Lord calls us to take a risk, to move out, just like Peter did, move into the unknown. Maybe he's calling us to a new direction. Maybe he wants us to try something new. And it's our job to respond by action, trusting in our faith. But we are human beings, and we all have reasons for not accepting Jesus' call. Oh, I'm far too busy. No room on my agenda to do that. You can't ask me to do that. I don't know how to do that. Ask so-and-so. She knows how to do it. And the list goes on and on. I'm too old. I'm too young. I can't sing. I can't do this. That's because of our fear. But if we truly trust our Lord, we should be able, and we do try, to get over our fear and walk as he asks us to do that. You know, Peter was able to do that for one brief shining moment. Now, I suppose you could say that Peter actually failed because he did not complete the walk. He took a few courageous strides, and that act of courage and trust ends in a bit of panic and embarrassment as he begins to sink into the water. He took his eyes off of Jesus. He lost his focus, and then he had to ask for help. Jesus, save me. And of course, that's what Jesus did. Reached out his hand, helped him into the boat. The water became calm, and the wind was still. Now, as Jesus' disciples today, there are times when, like Peter, we need to muster up our courage. We may have to go where we really aren't sure we want to go. We may have to try that something new. And we, like Peter, you know, we take a few steps and things aren't going quite the way we hoped they would, and we panic. And yet, even when we do that, God is still in this. This could very easily be part of God's plan. What we need to remember is that our God is always beside us, waiting to rescue us, to give us encouragement and hope and strength. Now, that doesn't mean that because we have faith, everything we do is going to be terribly wildly successful. But if we are willing to at least step out and take that little risk when God calls us, he gives us the wherewithal to work through it. Now, the end result may end up being very different than we'd expected. And yet again, it's part of God's plan. You know, our Creator God knows us well, and he accepts each and every one of us just as we are. He loves us unconditionally, and he is with us in our successes and in our failures. He's with us whether we sink or we swim. What truly matters is living our faith and trusting our God as we travel through life's challenging journey. So when you hear God calling, when you see him coming, in the midst of your fears, whatever that may be, remember, that is not a bad omen. He is our salvation. Thanks be to God. Amen.